church say amen. You know, I want to tell you a little bit about this thing that Pastor Tom wanted to do. I didn't want to do it. And I'll tell you why I didn't want to do it. I thought it was too much to put on people that are not of color. Because you have heard and you have felt and you have lived a life that's different from what people of color live. You have been told that we're shiftless and lazy, and all we want to do is drink and have babies and party and stuff like that. And even though maybe you didn't do it yourself, you were part of that genre. You're part of that. The reason why this was hard for me, because I was born in 1945. A lot of that was on the screen today. I lived through it. I'm 72 years old now, and I'm moved by some of the stuff there. And I remember as a young child being so angry about civil rights and rights. But I've been blessed because white people have went out of their way to help me. The white teacher would come to the school twice a month for art, and she would bring us a ball of clay about the size of a grapefruit. Everyone in the class was making snakes or something stupid. Jimmy took his block of clay and with the popsicle stick they gave me, carved a bird in the rock, on a rock. And all the kids were making fun of me and doing that like I'm crazy. And I'll never forget this. I think I was 7 years old. And the class was over, we put our things away. And I was the last one because I wanted mine to last till the next time she came so I could work on it. I was the last one going out of the door. And she grabbed me, this white lady grabbed me in my collar. And she said, "Don't you ever feel bad. You're an artist. And you are different. You feel things different. You see things different." And she said, "Not only am I not going to let you fall down into that mess, I'm going to tell every teacher in this school who you are." So she set the stage for who I am today. My parents did. My dad was an artist. So what I want to talk to you a little bit about Black history today. The Black history was created by Carter Woodson. He was a noted African-American historian, scholar, educator, and publisher, 1928. It became a month-long celebration in 1976, and they picked the month of February to coincide with Abraham Lincoln's and Frederick Douglass's birthday. Now, you saw some of the female people, that women, Black women of color. And the one that really struck me, and they had her up there, is Madam C.J. Walker. Black women up to this time have been doing everything to get their hair to be straightened out. Imani was talking about that day, how he used to take the hot comb, put it on the stove, put grease in it, and the great, you know, to get the hair straightened out. So Madam C.J. Walker had a dream one night in which an African man came to her and said, "You need a product that came from Africa." And so her hair was falling out too. She had tried everything. So she got this product and she started to develop this stuff and her hair started growing. And then she started making these products, these hair products, and they didn't have a distribution line. Her and her husband, she was married at the time. Her husband was more into the name of it. She was about getting it out there. So she said, "Look, I can't be with you." She broke up with him, started a line, and they had over 20,000 in every state of the United States distributors doing the hair product. I mean, she saved a bunch of Black folks. And today, because of what she did, Black women got beautiful hair. They got it straight. They got, you know, they got it all that way. And so, you know, and she was the first millionaire, too, first Black millionaire. This was another thing that is pervasive in our culture. If a Black person is successful or powerful or whatever, they got to make him not black. I remember because I could sing a little bit, they said, well, he's Puerto Rican or he's Spanish or, you know, no, I'm black. And to be black and to be gifted in black, now, this is something else. Another reason I told Pastor Tom I didn't want to do it, because I don't think white people can handle the truth. The truth is you have been told that we can't do anything. But yet, when you see it, you have to make us something else. There's a play called, I want to see the hands. How many people have heard of a play called Raising in the Sun? Corinne Hansberry. That was her first play. She decided that, and she was a gay woman. I think she was a lesbian. But she got married to this white man, and she said, I'm a writer. I'm not going to do anything but write. And she saw all these plays. They had things they called race plays back in those days. They had to make people be pacified. But she said, I'm going to tell the story. She said, I'm going to tell how it is. It was, if you know the basic story, the black family came into some money. The son was going to spend it and get something stupid, but they wanted to buy this house in a good neighborhood. And they sent the white man to the house to get them to accept money, not to do it. But she told the story, and the play became so famous. All the actors, Sidney Poitier was in it. It was an overnight sensation. And she was just on TV and on radio, and they just asked her all these questions. She said, I just got tired of the lies. I got tired of the lies. Another black woman that I want to talk about for a few minutes is Patricia Bass. She was a surgeon. She created a surgical laser device to cauterize wounds, to open up wounds and stuff like that. So what I'm telling you is, when we think about black people in this country, now let's dismiss one thing that they say, and I think you might have heard it in Texas, that the Civil War was over in April. Until it took a year later till they freed the slaves in Texas. It's called Juneteenth. Took a year to do that. Another thing, in the South, they created a cotton industry. Cotton was king. Black people had not only to pick the cotton, they had to pull all these little seeds out of it. A black man, Eli Whitley, invented the cotton gin. Now, we make fun of that, say, well, he invented that so we wouldn't have to do so much work. But he invented it because he was tired of being, you know, how he does. Now, also, a black man also invented, you ever heard, you know what Velcro is? Everybody, we use Velcro. He was walking in the woods one day and he saw how the birds would stick on him, and he came up with the idea how to make Velcro. So now what am I telling you that for? There is not anything in this country that you participate in, touch, eat, whatever, that a black person has not invented. The traffic light. The shoes, a black man invented the way to put the shoes together. Every time you take blood or get a transfusion, a black man, Dr. Charles Drew, invented that. Restaurants, music, everything in this country has been that way. Now there was another great man. He was called a peanut man. He was a professor of George Washington Carver at Tuskegee University. He invented hundreds of ways to use the peanuts. The soil had been depleted, so he figured if we could use peanuts, it'll grow. He invented salves and all kind of things from peanuts. And so this is one of the things that I wanted to tell you. Now I got a little thing here I want to say. I want to read it. It's called Be Like. I want you to dream like Martin Luther King. I want you to lead like Harriet Tubman. You saw a picture of her. She led thousands of slaves to freedom. Yeah. I want you to fight like Malcolm. Now, when we think about Malcolm X and Pastor Tom, that was right. We thought he was the devil. All he wanted to do was kill white people. But Malcolm X broke away from the Nation of Islam and embraced Islam and went on a pilgrimage to Mecca. And he said, when I walked there, I was surprised at the colors and the hues and the love. And he came back a real Muslim, which doesn't advocate violence. I want you to fight like Malcolm. I want you to think like Marcus Garvey. Now, Marcus Garvey, we make fun of him. Marcus Garvey said, we can't get along here. So he started a line, a ship line, to grab all the black people who wanted to go back to Africa and take them back. Well, the government got on hold of him and got hold of the money situation and accused him of stealing money. So, but I still want you to think like that. I want you to write like Maya Angelou. You know who she was. She's the poet laureate of the United States. I want you to build like Madam C.J. Walker. She built an industry that is still going on today. I want you to speak like Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass was one of the great speakers in this country. I want you to educate like W.B.E. Du Bois, who wrote a book called The Souls of Black Folks. And was really good. I want you to believe like Thurgood Marshall, which was the first black man on the Supreme Court. And I want you to challenge like Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks was the one who would give up her seat. Now, it was about a year before there was another young lady who wouldn't give up her seat. They wouldn't use her because she wasn't of the same character. But Rosa was a good fit, so they used her. I got a poem for you now by Maya Angelou. It's called What I've Learned. I've learned that no matter what happens or how bad it seems, today in your life goes on, and it will be better tomorrow. I learned that you could tell a lot about a person by the way they handle three things. One, rainy days. Two, lost luggage. And tangle of Christmas tree lights. I've learned that regardless of your relationship with your parents, you'll miss them when they're gone. Think about that. I've learned that making a living is not the same thing as making a life. I learned that life sometimes gives you a second chance. I've learned that you shouldn't go through life with catcher's mitts on both hands because you need to throw something out. I've learned that whenever I decide something with my heart, with an open heart, I usually make the right decision. I learned that even when I have pains, I don't have to be one. And I've learned that every day you should reach out and touch someone. People love a warm hug or a friendly pat on the back. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that we as a people have been successful. It's a pervasive thought in Texas that black people went to white folks and said, we want to immigrate to the United States. It did not happen like that. We were physically, violently taken away from our nature and from our country and brought here. But these oppressed people not only thrive, but they survive. And they are inwoven, their blood, sweat, and tears into this country. They built the White House. They built a lot of things in this country. So what I've learned to do in my 72 years is to take the anger that I feel and channel it into my work, into the one white person that is in front of me. I'm going to be the best example of what black means. We are not a violent people. But if you push us, we'll fight. We are not a selfish people. And even if we don't have anything, we will still give you bread. I get emotional when I think about Mrs. Chambers, who took me in when my parents broke up. And she always had food at the back door. I said, what's that for? She said, you just wait. You'll see somebody will knock on the door, and I have something to give her. Give them. We're not selfish. We're not greedy. But we always want a part of the American dream. And so, Pastor Tom, I applaud you for doing this. Now, We're not the only oppressed people in this country. Okay? The Irish, the Germans, the Poles, everyone has been oppressed. But one of the things that's going on is so pervasive is that no matter, for us to be recognized, we have to go to the heights to be recognized. I am getting ready to do a national talk at the National Ceramic Educators in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in March. And Jan said that one, the guy that put it together, our portion of it, it said a Japanese delegation is sending interpreters to our presentation. Now, if you know anything about Japanese and black folks, they don't like black folks. But there's been a shift collectively in Japan, and here I am, silly enough to believe they might ask me to go to Japan to teach. And you'd be daring, I'm going if that happens. But this is what we have to do. So I'm going to sit down now, but I'm going to leave you with something. Instead of listening to the garbage that is pervasive in the world about black people, get to know one. Get to know one. And when you talk to them, look them in the eye. Don't be looking over here because I'm standing in front of you. Look them in the eye, shake the hand, and listen to them. Because we will tell you the truth. We will tell you. I'm talking to Imani the other day. She said she has one lady who comes to her, a white lady, and asks her, what is this? That's what you do. Instead of assuming, ask us. We want to tell. I would like to be around more of my people. That song, I Will Trust in the Lord, I just start crying on that song. Because I had to go to church after a whole week of putting up with this N-word and stuff, and now I got to sing that song about I'm going to treat everybody right. Oh. But God, in the form of Jesus Christ, is in my life. And I'm proud to be a black man, and I'm proud to be a member of this church. And I thank you for listening to me.